Welcome to the Thrive Forever Fit Show, the podcast that's here to ignite your potential and guide you on a journey towards living your best life. I'm your host, Jay Nixon, and I'm thrilled to have you with us today. On this show, we're passionate about one thing, and that's helping you reach your full potential, whether that's in your health and fitness, relationships, career, or personal growth. We're here to provide you with tools, strategies, and inspiration to thrive in every aspect of your life. Each episode, we'll dive deep into topics that matter most, featuring insightful interviews with experts, thought leaders, and individuals who've achieved extraordinary success. Together, we're going to explore powerful mindset shifts, nutrition and fitness strategies, effective goal setting, mindfulness techniques, and much, much more. We'll break down the barriers that hold you back and help you build resilience, focus, and unwavering determination. So if you're ready to unleash your potential and embark on a transformative journey, this podcast is for you. It's time to embrace your inner fire, tap into your limitless capabilities, and make every day an opportunity for growth and self-improvement. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and empowered to live the life you've always dreamed of. The Thrive Forever Fit Show is here to support you every step of the way. Let's dive in. Before we dive into the show, I want to take a quick moment to talk about the sponsor of this episode. It is very dear and near and close to my heart because it is Lori's company, SpaStar. If you ever had the opportunity to watch someone create something from a thought or a vision and make this magical thing actually come to life, well, then you'll know why I'm so extremely proud of her and why I'm so excited to have her sponsoring the Thrive Forever Fit Show. If you've listened to my podcast, then you probably heard her on episode 259. If you haven't heard that, I would go listen to episode 259 as soon as you finish this episode. She talks about the story of how she created it, the adversity she overcame, the challenges that she worked through, and just the inspirational story that I know you're absolutely going to love. But what SpaStar is, it's a luxury wrap. And it was created as a spa wrap for people who were getting beauty treatments. But what we found out is it is a piece for everyday life. People are wearing it as swimsuit cover-ups, resort wear, just to get ready in the mornings or for that special event. It is the most unique piece. And I've actually worn this thing several times. That was the actual first model for this. Maybe I'll show you guys some photos of that when the time is right. But it is such a cool creation called the Get Ready Wrap by SpaStar. And because you're a listener, you get 15% off today because you support me. So just go to spastar.net, spastar.net, the word spa, the word star.net. And at the checkout, enter Thrive15, T-H-R-I-V-E 15, and you're going to get 15% off of your Get Ready Wrap. So many of my clients already have these and absolutely love them. We're selling them all over the country and all over the world, for that matter, to high-end luxury spas, and to people just like you that are using them inside of their own homes. They're traveling with them. They're using them at the pool. It's so really just unbelievably cool to see and witness. And I'm so blessed to be a part of it. And I'm so blessed to have Lori actually sponsoring my podcast, which I think is really, really cool. So go check out SpaStar. I know you're going to love it. It is the coolest thing ever. And guys, this isn't just for ladies. This is one of the coolest gifts you could get your any female in your life, for that matter. If Lori hadn't have created it, I would buy them for her as a gift to show her my love and appreciation. So dudes, if you're listening and you need to get a gift for your significant other or some special person in your life, go to spastar.net, grab a Get Ready Wrap. There's all kinds of colors. There's black, there's sage, there's a berry color, there's a gosh, I just went blank. There's a kind of a greeny, kind of avocado-y color. Really cool. You're definitely going to love these, I promise. So go to spastar.net, check it out, support Lori. And Lori, thank you for sponsoring the show. All right, let's get to the action. I am super pumped about today's episode because I get to talk to a fellow fitness fanatic. My guest today is Sean Doughty. He is the owner of Track Athletics. It's an adult strength and conditioning facility in Akron, Ohio. He loves fitness like I do. He loves helping people like I do. We are going to chop it up today. We're going to talk all things fitness, all things nutrition, all things helping people become the best versions of themselves. We share the belief that in the face of adversity, life's toughest challenges, we share that those things can often be the reason people succeed. They can often be your greatest opportunity for personal growth and success. I can't wait to chop it up with Sean. You guys are going to enjoy this episode. A couple of meatheads going at it. Not really. Neither one of us are meatheads. I'm kind of a nerd and a dork, and I don't really even know Sean that well. So, Sean, I apologize for that. Anyway, guys, let's have a heck of a show. Here we go. Sean, what is going on, brother? Thanks for coming on the show today.
Yeah, Jay, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to chat today.
Absolutely. I always, like I said, I'd love to chop it up with a fellow fitness guy. So let's start there. How did you embark on this world of, being a gym owner now, but just get into fitness in general? Was it like a lifelong thing or something you just kind of stumbled into?
Yeah. So I think it was a little bit of both. I think as a kid, I was always attracted to sports and fitness in that sense of, you know, competing and being an athlete. And so most of my life was spent, you know, finding ways to improve on my own performances, whether that was, you know, at a young age in basketball or whether it was once I got into high school track and field, which I took into the college level. And so it took me down a path where I knew it was either going to be something with physical health in terms of a doctor or physical therapy. And lo and behold, I found out after many occasions in the hospitals myself for injuries or things like that, that, you know, I kind of wanted to be on the performance side of it and kind of wanted to do more of helping people, not in the rehab side where I was doing almost all this admin paperwork, and really move into helping people in a format that I felt like could be useful, quick, and could really help people grow into the individuals they wanted to become.
Yeah, the preventative side as opposed to the other side of, yeah, trying to fix all the stuff. When did you kind of start? I know you've been a sports guy probably all your life. Like, when did you like start getting into like weights and like, you know, picking things up and putting them down and mobility and all that kind of jazz?
Yeah, so that really kicked off for me come, you know, high school. I started getting the weight room probably my junior, senior year of high school. Before that, I hadn't really been involved, and I had this great coach who had, he was a health teacher for us, but he was a advanced strength conditioning coach at our high school. And so he had done some MMA fighting professionally and been in the NFL for a short bit and played at Penn State. And so, the way that he approached life and like the zest he had for fitness kind of, you know, exposed me to that realm in terms of fitness, mobility, different modalities. And so really got me excited to learn more. And that's when I decided, you know, exercise science, exercise physiology is how I wanted to approach college, because it gave me the pathways to go, you know, any direction in fitness and health, but really kind of more towards what I wanted to do that I could tell on there.
Yeah. I love that. Obviously you own a gym now, so you're wearing a bunch of different hats, but did you start like training? Did you start like, you know, in your garage? Did you start at your local gym? Like, hey dude, let me help you with this. Like, how did it kick off for you?
Yeah. So for me, it kicked off with a few things. So I started as a personal trainer, like most people out of college, thinking that was going to be able to fulfill everything I needed to, from physical, you know, fitness myself, from helping other people, from financial. And then most of the time you come to realize, you know, there's a problem being a personal trainer, either at someone else's gym or, you know, keeping that pipeline going. And so I ultimately actually went back to college teaching. I was a professor for kinesiology and sports science for like 3 or 4 years. And then I also found out that there, financially, when they cut budgets and do things, the shortest, you know, tenure on the thing is gone, which was obviously me at the time. And so I ended up connecting with, two local fitness business owners in Dave and Lauren Regula, and joined up at Track Athletics, to where eventually we've worked so well together that we became owners together and really started progressing that into the realm of more and more an approach to help people both physically, mentally, and emotionally, you know, rebuild themselves strength wise and not just, you know, from one avenue, but kind of multifaceted in that approach.
Love that. So you guys kind of like, would you consider them to be kind of like mentors? Like, did you kind of like, how'd that relationship like foster itself?
Yeah, so when I came aboard, I was still teaching part-time. I kept that in. And so what I started to learn was a lot more of the business side of owning a fitness business from them. And so it started as kind of a mentorship in the business part. And I joke, right, with Lauren, she was still, competing for Olympics and Worlds. When I had just met her, she had just finished one. And then we were training for Tokyo 2020. So I was helping train her, do some of the stuff, working with their coaches. And, you know, prior to COVID, we were all supposed to go up to Canada together. And I was supposed to help them with Team Canada with training and doing those sort of things. So I had brought in this really science-backed approach to performance on a very high end. And they had started mentoring me in the business side of the equation on, you know, what it looked like, how to run, how to help out more people, how to scale your approach into, you know, not just being like, hey, you know a lot of stuff, but no one knows that you know it. And so to take that to the next level to help, you know, more and more people and grow a business as a whole. So it really started as kind of me bringing what I could to the equation and then bringing, you know, this great mentorship relationship there.
That's awesome, man. That was really cool. Yeah, I think there's a lot, you know, everybody thinks like, oh, I'd love to own a gym. Like, it's like, you know, I can do push-ups and setups. Like, I can tell people what to do. I'm like, if it was only that simplistic, that would be a beautiful world. So good for you for, you know, seeking out and receiving and taking all that mentorship and then turning it into an ownership, man. I mean, there's no telling what you can do with this. How old are you?
So 31.
Okay, 31. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And how long have you been like part of this for the facility there?
So I've been a part of it for 6 years now.
Oh, cool.
Ownership for like the last year and a half or so. But yeah, before that I started as just a head coach and brought what I could, and then director of athletics and then GM, and then really took off from there once I established what I could bring to the table and became part of the ownership there.
That's outstanding, man. That means you know how to wear a lot of different hats and do a lot of different things. And you probably even take the trash out, which is...
Oh, absolutely. You got to sweep the floor at the end of the night sometimes.
Absolutely. So I love guys that are willing to do all those little things. That's the differentiator, right? It's like, yeah, it's cool to say, hey, I'm a gym owner, but if you're not willing to scrub a toilet or take the trash out, you're not going to be in business very long.
No, I think a lot of people get, you know, the flashy car sense of it, you know, where it's like, oh, it's going to give me, you know, so much money. It's going to give all these accolades to me. And most successful businesses, it's all about the customer, right? It's all about 100%. The experience. It's all about, you know, what you can give in terms of value that's going to help them grow their lives to where they want to be at. And so for us, you know, when you go from that, like very early on, like for me, it was, you know, 22 coming out thinking personal training was going to be this shiny, flashy thing. And then you land flat on your face and you go, oh, that's not right. That's not going to work out. I luckily had that experience before coming into, you know, the business side of a gym and knowing like, hey, what I really want out of life, what's going to be really fulfilling for other people and for myself is, what can I build that allows people to live their best life, right? Be able to go hike. You know, one of my favorite experiences was I was training a couple, they were in their 60s. And so they had never, you know, worked with a barbell before. And so we trained them for probably like 6 months in personal training, and they were going out hiking Ireland. And when they came back, like they were so thankful for the ability to be able to go on their hikes and not, you know, stop early, to go see a new experience, the ability to feel like, hey, we actually didn't feel terrible after like going out to the pub for the night because we knew how to exercise, like we knew how to do all these things, and like just walking these steps, like I never would have made it through it if I hadn't started this. And so for me, like watching the impact that it had on people's life, like took all the stuff that I thought I would love when I was, you know, 20, 18 years old from being a part of business and saw the effect it had on people and just knew like, that's what this is all about. And so then when you're scrubbing a toilet at the end of the night, you go, yeah, this is nothing. Like this is going to be a small part of this fulfilling experience in terms of training people.
Absolutely. It seems like you guys have also kind of taken the approach that I have, that it's, you know, it's, I mean, you know, squats are great, you know, picking things up is great. Like, you know, moving your body is great, but if you don't really bring in that other component to it, that emotional side, the mindset piece, the psychological side of it, like I think for me, that's the differentiator, is like, you know, anybody can tell somebody to do a squat, right? Or anybody can show somebody how to do a squat or to, you know, program a great workout. But it's like, those are, you know, that's 10 to 20% of it. Like if you really dive into to the lifestyle of what, how you're trying to help people live, like that seems to be like where you get the real fulfillment. I know it is for me, and it sounds like it is for you guys as well.
Yeah. I mean, 100%, I think you're competing less against, you know, other trainers and more against like innate, like mindset psychology with people. Like you're really trying to help them learn like triggers, cues, emotional behaviors, where like this whole need for them to be physically fit comes from, and then keep re-anchoring to that. I mean, for most people, like there's temporary periods of time, like right before your kid's wedding, you're definitely going to come into a gym to look your best, to fit into something because you want that feeling at that day. But how do you anchor someone to that 24/7 as part of a lifestyle and a greater thing? I think, like you said, for your business and for ours, like that's the key, is how can I help you recognize how to anchor to it constantly when there's not a big event tomorrow, when there's not 6 weeks from now, I got to go on a hike or a trip. Like, how do I do it when it's part of the mundane to make sure that you are consistent and actually see the results? Because unfortunately, fitness isn't 2 days. It's the rest of your life.
Was this something that you kind of brought to the table, or did Dave and his wife have this and they kind of introduced it to you, or did you guys like synergistically kind of create this together? Like how did this come about? Because if you go in a gym, you know, any state, any city in the country, I don't know that you're going to see a lot of it, of that mentality. I think it's a lot more of PRs, you know, that type of thing. Max lifts, like speed, like, yeah, all of the, you know, six pack abs, like that kind of jazz. Like, how did you guys kind of come up, create this philosophy?
Yeah, I think it was, synergistic. I think they had kind of built up what like was a good base of membership that generally had some of those traits, like successful small business owners, parents, like people who had some of the underlying traits. And then as we sat in meetings as a leadership team, like every quarter, I think slowly it merged to what it was becoming the mission statement of, you know, rebuilding physical, mental, and emotional wellness. And so for us, then it was like, okay, well, how do we actually not put that on a piece of paper and actually like implement that? What do we need to do on our end to make sure that we're engaging people both in the physical aspect of being here training, but in the mental and emotional aspects of making this part of daily routine life and those sort of things? And so then that weaved its way into building systems to do that, as opposed to just hoping it magically happened as part of the process. And then really innately adding, you know, nutrition nights and mobility nights and, you know, hey, how do you write goals? Like, how do you actually put that into practice and start having agency in your own, you know, ability by not just the workouts, but by what you do outside of here, what you listen to, like start building the environment around them. And so we took that to heart together. And I think really, you know, they had put this base that mostly had those traits. So we got very fortunate that it wasn't, I would talk about it in terms of like, you know, driving a cruise ship versus a speedboat.
Right.
We took a line. Luckily, we had this cruise ship built that it was going in that direction. So we only had to turn the ship a little bit, as opposed to the whiplash that would have been if that wasn't, you know, something innate to most of the members we already had. So when we really made that shift, it was not a big course correct.
Yeah. Did you have a personal development background coming into this? Like just maybe self-taught books, things like that? Is that kind of in your wheelhouse?
Yeah, so it's really funny. So my master's is in applied sports science and applied exercise physiology, but it was in between being a master's of education and a master's of science. So they were really like bridging the department. So a lot of times I got to pick, you know, courses that filled the requirement. So I spent a lot of time actually in sports psych and sports leadership stuff, as opposed to necessarily more details about strength conditioning, because I felt pretty well-rounded at that point of what was going to work, what the science was saying at the time, how to read research articles. I was, you know, in a couple of research studies, like as, you know, accreditations for it. So I felt pretty comfortable being part of that. And so I wanted to learn more sports psych. And so then I found myself fascinated with, all right, the the problem most of the time isn't knowing what to get people to do, right? Like you said, like I can teach someone to squat. There's 90 people in probably a 2 mile radius right now where I'm at that can teach you how to squat.
Right.
But how do they get you to do stuff that you innately aren't driven to do, right? Like stop eating a donut that everyone wants to eat the donut. But how do I get you the desire, the capacity, the anchoring system to do that long term? And so I just started really diving into the psychology. And then we joked, my mom tried to get me to read every book when I was a kid. I think I read 7 books and they were the Harry Potter series. And then outside of that, I didn't read again until college textbooks, those sort of things. And so then all of a sudden I've got stacks of, you know, leadership, self-development, like those sort of books that I was like, oh, this is why I didn't want books that weren't informing me on how to make improvements in my life. And so I learned that, you know, fiction books weren't for me. I just wanted to watch the movie instead. And that self-development was something that was going to be a lifelong process for me, and what I could take away and then give to other people was going to be huge in terms of implementing it in my own life. Because I think when you teach something, when you try to go out right afterwards after learning something, be like, hey, learn this cool thing. I think I want to try this application, but showing other people that too, it instills it, drills it down to myself, and then helps spread that to other people.
Love that. I'm the same way. I can't read a fiction book, but I love anything like human psychology, you know, mindset, all that kind of jazz. You mentioned your wife, and I feel like there's like an anchoring point, like with the things that you've gone through with her that have kind of probably made you a better coach, a better trainer, a better business owner, just a better in the realm of what it is that you're getting to do on a daily basis to help other people. Can you walk me through kind of how that impacted you?
Yeah. So my wife and I got engaged in October, and 3 months later, she was diagnosed with a neurological disorder, and actually not even diagnosed right away. So we were in a neurological ICU for like 2 weeks. My wife's entire body was cramping, like throwing distortion. She couldn't open her eyes. She couldn't function. And so we spent 2.5 weeks in an ICU. I watched her intubated. I watched her sedated. Like I got to see her at the very like scariest moment, very early on, like in our engagement. And that led to multiple disorders, this functional movement where, I mean, so instead of her body, you know, interpreting things, her neurological system will go haywire. So she'll have tics, she'll have cramping, she'll have parts of her body that just stopped functioning out of nowhere. So I've had to carry her out of places before. I've had to, you know, get her somewhere after she goes completely paralyzed out of nowhere. So for me, it became an anchoring thing in terms of both my personal need for fitness in terms of, hey, I have to have this as a mental exercise as much as a physical exercise. Cause there was, I mean, real stress super high on with that, where it was like, you know, 2 hours of sleep, still trying to figure out how to function as a human and realizing like, I still need to work out. I still need to take care of myself so that I can show up as the person that can handle this for her and be able to carry my load in our relationship and our marriage. And so that became like, for me as a coach, understanding and better empathizing with people where they're at, but also having a firm foundation to be like, hey, like, I know it's a struggle to get here sometimes. Like, I absolutely can understand where it's at. I'm not saying that you need to do this for anything, you know, that you need to take time away from family, that you need to take this. Like, this is for you to be able to show up 100% better in those moments. Because, I mean, I lost weight, I lost, you know, energy, time, like in that stressful period. And I knew I was showing up as a worse version of myself for her and for our situation. And so it just became something that helped me anchor better as like, look, I get it. I can empathize 1000% with where you're at, but showing up for yourself here is going to help everyone else in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. It's like, I almost feel like a responsibility piece. Like luckily my significant other, Lori, and I have not gone through that kind of trauma, but I feel a responsibility just being me to her. Like, I mean, she didn't sign up for, you know, the Pinto, like she signed up for the Porsche. So, I mean, I need to make sure that I'm showing up every day, you know what I mean? Both physically, mentally, emotionally, like, you know, psychologically, all of that to be the best version of myself so that I can present that in our relationship. You had to do that in the face of a, you know, let's call it a trauma. How's she doing today? Like, how's everything going?
Yeah, I mean, so we talk about it as a gradual incline. It's something that we still deal with. You know, there's days where she can't do everything. That whole functional movement disorder led into a psychogenic non-epileptic seizure disorder. So she'll drop at places if there's way too much stimulation, if there's way too much, you know, volumes, things like that. So, I mean, we constantly adjust to, you know, what's it going to be today? You forget one thing happens and then another thing. All of a sudden, you know, there was a long period of time where it would just be like her hands would get stuck and she wouldn't be able to move something. You'd be like, okay, well, I'll help you carry stuff, right? And then it would be, okay, well, she dropped in a Target with a seizure. And then you have to explain to everyone around you in terms of like, hey, it's cool. Like, it's my wife. She's got this disorder. I know it's scary to look at, but I promise you it'll be over here in about 5 minutes. She'll be fine. No need to call an ambulance, nothing like that. And so, you know, it's improvement because when we first got this, I mean, they'd be eight hours, 4 hour episodes, like screaming, crying, contorting your body, almost like, you know, possessed by the exorcist because you're cramping. Like if anyone's had a Charlie horse, just imagine it in your entire body for hours on end. And so she's had those kind of things and functionality of, you know, the seizures were 20 minutes. And so now they're down to like 4 or 5, sometimes even 90 seconds. And so, you know, it's better, but it's still something that for the rest of our life, we'll have to adjust with and then utilize, you know, the skill set for me in terms of working out to have my outlet and my release from that. And for her, exercise is super important because it helps her mental health. It helps her keep, you know, some semblance of, hey, I'm still able to function and do stuff, you know, and still have a normal life and not feel like I'm just getting crippled and frail by this whole process of me not being in control of my body, still having times where she does get to go out and work out and feel very independent as opposed to stuck inside, unable to do anything.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Is she able to like have any kind of physical fitness at all? And hats off to her for like, I mean, you talk about, you know, excuses, right? I mean, like, nobody's going to argue with her. If she's like, hey, I don't feel like going to work out today. It's like, hey, okay, cool, right? So it's like, that makes me feel like, you know, we should be doing this podcast where both of us are walking around the neighborhood. Like, I mean, yeah. So hats off to her, man. Make sure you give her a high five for just being, you know, just keep on keeping on. That's so empowering. You're probably empowered by her to see her strength and just resolve. Because there's zero easy about that.
No, yeah, 100%. I tell her all the time, like, she's helped me grow as an individual so much through this. And while it's unfortunate, right, the situation, like, both of us have grown throughout it. And, you know, there can either be post-traumatic stress or there can be post-traumatic growth. And so for us, this was a growth and response and knowing that, like, hey, you know, some days when someone wants to call and cancel, or someone wants to stop being a member, or something's going on that's stressing me out about, oh, I'm not doing enough, I'm not helping enough, I'm not giving them everything they need as a business owner. And then I see her, you know, going into work, you know, struggling to get to the gym, but still making it, doing all these other things, and then being like completely exhausted and fatigued at a different level than most people would be at on a regular basis, and go like, wow, like, that brings me back down to like, hey, this is not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. Like, separate from that, enjoy this, and then just keep trying to help the people that you can help, and understand that there's some people that aren't ready for what you're putting out to them yet. And so she helps me, again, anchor that and consistently helps me remind, you know, myself, like, yeah, I've got to do what I need to do in terms of physical fitness, in terms of building a business, like, regardless of what I'm feeling right now, sometimes, like, be aware of it, but don't let that stop me. Don't let that make me shy away.
Let's shift into that doing things that you don't want to do. Cause we kind of touched on this before I hit record. It's like, you know, the whole summer, you know, in the business that we're in, summer tends to be that time of year where, I don't know, I don't have kids, but I feel like a parent where you're trying to get your kids to do what it is you know they need to do, but they don't want to do it. Like, it's summer, they don't want to read the book, they don't want to take, you know, do the homework. And so, like, how are, you know, I'm sure you guys are dealing with that right now too. Like, How do you guys handle that? Like, what's your messaging? Like, how are you supportive, but also holding people accountable? Like, it's a tricky balance.
Yeah, I think for us, it's all about recognizing, like, hey, vacations are a real thing, but vacations aren't the entire month. Like, I think everyone wants to call in and be like, I want to stop my membership for the next 2 months. Like, yeah, I don't know that you're going on a 2 month vacation. Not many people I know. I don't, even the people right. that have the capacity to do that, like, still don't do that. Right. So I always think about it as reiterating, like, cool, you need to take a week. Great. Take that week off for vacation. But if you start taking 2, 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, all of a sudden your body's going to start feeling worse. And guess what? When you go on those experiences, you're not going to be able to enjoy them as much. And then you're going to come back and you're going to go, oh yeah, I was so bad this summer. I did all this and now, you know, I'm way out of shape and I don't feel good. I'm less self-confident. And really you start this bad cycle of like negative self-talk. And so then all of a sudden we're fighting a new uphill battle of getting you back, reestablishing positive, you know, self-talk, reestablishing the fact that you're getting to experience life, but you need to have some boundaries on that. And so I think for us, the message is always like, take the time that you need to, but it's the same thing as in terms of like eating nutrition right. Like if you spend 85% of your time eating nutrition right, you can have 60 some odd meals throughout the year that are, you know, your birthday, your holiday, your anniversary, that are blowout meals, but that don't affect you if you stay consistent. But if you start thinking about it as my birthday week and my birthday month and my stuff, then all of a sudden you are going to be at a point where you're physically impacted, mentally impacted by that break, by that like long-term impact. When you bring it back down to what it really is on a piece of paper, like I'm gone for 3 days out of the month, or I'm gone for 7 days, you can come in the rest of the day, still train, still do stuff. And if you go on a walk while you're on vacation, it's not going to ruin your vacation to get up and go for a 20, 30 minute walk. Yeah. You don't have to have any equipment. You don't have to be that person that's bringing bands to the beach and, you know, everything with them. You can still be yourself and just enjoy the process of life and that journey.
I find it's that cancellation of the, hey, I need to pause my membership for, like you said, for like 6 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever. That is one of the, and I know you and I are both preaching to the choir at each other, but I find it to be one of the most detrimental things to somebody's success. And I'll explain that a little bit and see if you agree with me. It's like, because when you get that, it's almost like when you pause that for 6 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it is, it's almost like you've given yourself that hall pass to not do anything. What I've found is the clients that don't pause it, right? Like say they're going to go away for 7 days, right? Or 10 days or whatever it is, but they keep the membership going. It's almost like this gravitational pull that as soon as that car pulls back into the garage, the next morning they're up in the car coming back to the gym. But if it's paused, it's so hard to give you a, hey, Sean, I'd like to reactivate that membership. Like how often do you get that call? Never.
No. It's one of those things. I think you're hitting the nail on the head, right? Like, I think you've opened a void by canceling that membership, by doing that. And you're going to fill that void with something because we're not good at being bored. No one in this world is good at being bored. So you're going to fill that. So whether that's with, you know, junk food, whether that's with more Netflix time, whether that's that. And if you take a month, guess what? You're going to set a new habit by that point. And so now it's, oh, I don't have time to go back to the gym because you fill that in with either business, pleasure, whatever. That's going to fill that void instantaneously because we're not good at just sitting and doing nothing. And so I think that's one of those things too. And on the other one that you hit on is the people that keep going, don't cancel it, don't do it. What you pay for, you pay attention to.
Yeah.
The second you're like, oh, I got to go get my value out of this because I'm paying for this, you're going to be back Sunday morning. If you're back, you'll go into a Sunday evening class. There is one, right? Yeah. You're back. You're not going to wait until next week. Once I'm back in rhythm routine, do all my work. No, you're going to go back and get that value because it's important. You dictated it's important because most of us work off of our money. And so if we invested into something like our fitness, our health, we're going to go take advantage of it. And the second that we have that backstop of, oh, I'm still paying for this, I better get there tomorrow, you're going to get there.
It's a psychological thing. I was listening to a podcast a few months ago, and the guy said something to the effect of no progress is made until payment is exchanged, like until payment is received. And he's like, humans are just psychologically wired to, you and I could do this. You and I could go on a cross-country campaign where we just gave out free advice. And we just drove into a new city. We set up megaphones and we just talked all day long about do this, it's free, blah, 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 free workouts, everything. Yep. We would, at the end of that tour, we'd come back and we would have impacted virtually nobody. Because if people don't have a connection through that, it's like just psychological, we just won't do it. Because I could tell, you are probably the same. Like I've probably told 1,000 people exactly what to do to be healthy for free.
Yep.
And not a damn one of them has taken my advice.
No, I think, like you said, I think there's a component of like, I'm establishing that I value this thing by putting my money down on top of it. And that this is going to now be a core principle of my life. Like I'm putting that in and then having the accountability that it's going to come auto drafted out next week, next month, next whatever. Like I'm now committed to this lifestyle. I'm committed to this. It's the same reason that, you know, a lot of these like 10-day fit camp or, you know, 5-day promotional free workouts, like don't work, right? You think like as a business owner, a bunch of times you're like, oh yeah, everyone should be taking me up on that. I should have 200 people in the gym tomorrow for that. And 5 people take you up on it and 2 of them show up and 1 of them out of it goes, oh wow, I just didn't know this was what this was all about. I'm totally in. Totally. When you're like 10 to 20,000 people saw this thing.
Right.
And only 2 people really showed up to the whole process of it. But you run something where you're like, hey, this is going to cost you X amount of dollars. You're coming in, you're doing it. People get in front of you for it. If you want it, great. If not, it's not a part of it. The second that the people pay for it, they get these amazing results. And everyone that thinks that there's going to be this free, you know, change of it, it just doesn't work that way.
Right. If it did, we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in. That's kind of what I wanted to shift gears to see if how you feel about this. Because sometimes I feel, you know, as a business owner and as an entrepreneur and as somebody who's been doing this for over 30 years, you know, sometimes I feel like, am I crazy or do other people think and see what I see? Right. So I'm glad you're going through that same summer thing as I am. I don't wish it upon you, but at least it lets me know I'm not crazy and that I'm not some kind of weird alien or something. What's your, and this is a big question, so we can kind of like break it down. Just the state of fitness, the state of wellness, the state of health. Like, I mean, you're in Ohio, I'm in Southern California, but my guess is it's probably pretty similar. Like, what are you seeing just from like, and when I say the state of, right, I'm talking about just like humans in general. Are you seeing more people being more fit or more people being less fit and getting unhealthier?
Yeah. So I think there's more people that are spending their time, effort, and money to buy temporary like happiness, whatever that may be to them, versus fulfilling fitness, lifestyle, everything else. I think when it comes to health, like it's on a downward trajectory. And that's really why we're in the business that we are, because I see it, right? It's navigating. It's like looking over a waterfall and knowing it all ends at the bottom for people. Like I know the people that I've seen that were at the bottom and I know they can come back and most people can, but if I can stop you from taking that, you know, that tumble down and getting to the point where like the only reason that you came in is because you finally had a heart attack. Right. You like thought that forever you could just keep pounding, you know, steak for every single meal and fried burgers and, you know, the mozzarella sticks and do everything and not work out. And you're just going to be fine because in the moment you eat that 100%, we all get a nice dopamine hit. We're feeling real good. And then we feel a little bit bad afterwards, but we don't notice it until our body kind of gets to that point. That's like, dude, what are you doing to me? I can't function like this anymore. And so I just see this downward trajectory of, you know, health, but there's an opportunity to change that and make a better impact for yourself, for your family, for everything around you. And I'm hopeful that we've seen something similar in terms of mental health kind of happen over the last few years with COVID, where it was on a downward trajectory. And I think that now that we understand the two get really tied in together, if we can help people out both with mental health and physical health, it'll make it so much easier for us to stop that, because we'll understand it more in prevention than in treatment of a problem, just to get back to baseline.
How do you think we get over this? My belief is that most people look at, let's just call it the gym, right? Like a workout, as torture, as opposed to an opportunity, as opposed to like, this is something I get to go do versus something I have to go do. Like, I think, how do we shift that narrative? Like, where, because I don't know about you. I mean, you guys are probably, I think everybody has this misconception that it's like everything is the CrossFit Games, right? Like, you're 75 years old, but you're going to come in and I'm going to have you doing a snatch and box jumps and all kinds of crazy things, which could not be further from the truth. So how do we break that notion that's what it's all like?
Yeah, I think that's the real struggle of the whole process, is getting people through the door to see that and start to bridge the gap of like, hey, we get it. There was this health craze where people were deadlifting up a ramp and running 16 miles, and we're doing just absolutely insane. And they didn't even look human anymore, these people. Like, their physical fitness was on such a level. I usually talked about it at the university as a survival system workout, right? The people that made it through it just happened to be the ones that genetically were adapted to it, and everyone else broke on the way to that.
Holy.
So we need to instill this belief that there's a developmental side of a system to help you grow into the person who is capable of doing maybe a box jump at 50 years old, but you don't have to get to where you need to in life. Like, you don't have to do any given exercise. Exercises are like a tool in a craftsman's like workshop. Like, yeah, the saw's probably pretty effective for cutting this thing, but there's another 10 things that can cut this thing for me, and we can get the job done and make sure that you feel comfortable with it and that you've got the process to get yourself there. I think that comes down to one, right? Finding a way to help people come through the door, have an experience, and see like, hey, not everywhere is like this. And even the places that used to be like this probably are adopting a better model, because half their people got injured, unless they own a physical therapy place too. And maybe that's their perfect model.
That's like, the business model.
Yeah. I'll break them, fix them, keep them coming back and forth, and we'll go from there. But I think it's easing that entrance into a place where, hey, like, this is going to provide a good amount of value. You're going to have a developmental opportunity, but we're not going to break you down. And I think that comes to good coaching and good messaging from fitness businesses that understand, you know, this isn't just about the 20-year-olds and the 30-year-olds. Like, this is about longevity for people and being where they want to. So the PR of your 450-pound squat is not as impressive to put on your social media as, you know, Janice came in and it's the first time she's ever been able to pick up a barbell and cholesterol's down and, you know, her back doesn't hurt anymore and she's able to go on a hike. Like, starting to get the narrative of fitness towards what it can do for you long term and what you don't have to do to get there.
Yeah, I think you're probably a lot like me. I have a client that has not worked out since COVID hit, like nothing. And I told her the other day, I'm like, listen, if you come in, I will just walk around the building with you for 30 minutes. That's it. We won't pick anything up unless we find some money on the ground. We don't do anything. We're just going to walk around the building for 30 minutes. And I think you have to start where people are, right? And some people say, well, that's not a workout. I'm like, if you haven't moved since before COVID, walking around a building for 30 minutes is going to be a pretty good workout.
I bet you can look and test her cardiovascular system afterwards, and it's going to be completely different and look like a workout for someone else. If you heart rate monitored, you know, someone taking stairs that always took the elevator for the last 25 years, just taking the stairs is going to do something that is going to initiate a response. I think a lot of people get stuck in the, you know, oh, well, it looks like this for me.
Right.
That's not what it looks like for everyone. Like I said, it's hyper-individualized. 30 minutes of walking could be 150 heart rate, you know, per minute for her the entire single time, which is the same thing with you doing bike sprints, 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off for 20 minutes.
Yeah. And I think there's an adaptation as well. Like, I mean, in my, you know, my, when I was in my youth, I mean, I love to pick that heavy stuff up. I love deadlifting and squatting or whatever. I haven't done a back squat, a barbell bench press, or a a heavy deadlift in 10 years because I'm almost 50. I don't need to do that, right? It doesn't make any sense. I can get the same thing with dumbbells, kettlebells, like more functionality and movement. That led me to something else I was thinking about. You said getting people through the door. I think my theory is one of the main reasons, other than the fear that it's just going to suck and that it's going to hurt and that it's going to be painful. Like, I think people have to get over that. But I think there's this like comparison thing, especially with social media these days. Because if you flip on a social media channel, and I mean, I don't care if it's a guy or a girl, they're ripped to the bone. They look like some kind of Greek god or goddess. And that's just not reality. I mean, you and I have been doing this for a long time. I don't care who you are. That is not realistic. But I think it sets the stage for that belief system that, like, I don't want to go to a gym. Like, I can't, you know what I mean? Like, what do you think on terms of that? Like, how are you overcoming that? And do you think that's the problem as well?
Yeah, I think social media definitely has set, you know, us into a bad thing. It's put us obviously into more of a comparisons that we wouldn't have noticed. Like, say you've never seen the gym before, you know, the gym probably used to advertise like, hey, come in, we got a discounted like entrance thing, come on in. People came in, you saw some people that look like you, some people are a little more fit. Yeah. Now you're right? Like, we see these shredded, you know, monster athletes, right? And we see all these performance gurus who have spent all day crafting, video editing, making sure that the lighting was right, like hitting the perfect angle to make you look super huge or to look super skinny. And I think that's put almost like, I can never identify with that. And so I think for, you know, the business owners that are trying to attract the people that they can actually serve and help, which aren't those people, they're going to go work out on their own. They've got
100%. Yeah.
They're not going to be at most gyms. You're going to have to market with authenticity in terms of like, hey, here's our people, check it out. Like, look, like, you know, Nancy, 62 years old, just hit, you know, her first ever movement today. Her heart rate's down, her cholesterol is improved. Like, this is the stuff that matters to people, you know, at that. And look, here's what she did today's workout, and show people like, this isn't anything wild and crazy. And then again, right, Nancy's first workout was just hopping on a rower for 10 minutes and then we stretched the rest of the workout. Like, whatever that may be, I think for us, it's lowering that expectation of like what fitness means at a certain age and adapting with it. Because what it means at 30 and 50 and 70 are completely different things and what it allows you to do. But I think it's that progression, right? Showing people that it is a process, it is a journey, and that you're not expected to be this peak alpha male or this beautiful Amazonian that can do all this stuff and only does hip thrusts 24/7 to make sure that she can look good on Instagram with the newest, you know, pair of butt lifting pants or something. Like, it's not what you're going for. You just want to look better, feel better, move better, and enjoy your life.
Absolutely. I mean, like, you know, we have clients from like 18 to 80, right? And so it's like, it's not a one size fits all. Fitness, wellness, nutrition even is not a one size fits all, you know, thing. Like, it's a blend. It's a balancing act of, you know, crafting things for people that fit their lifestyle that they can live with forever. I mean, that's really the messaging. I think that, you know, both of our models are really trying to teach and preach to people. When you guys, like, you start thinking about that, like, you know, the longevity piece of that. You said something earlier that struck me is like, when a client like wants to cancel or something of that nature, you say, God, I'm not doing enough. Like, I'm not, you know what I mean? I feel the exact same way. So maybe you and I need therapy, because I do the exact same thing. I'm like, what can I have said? Like, what can I have done? And I feel heartbroken, right? Like, not because, and I think most people are like, well, yeah, because they're not going to pay you anymore. That's not why I feel heartbroken. I feel heartbroken because if I see them at the grocery store in 6 weeks and they've gained 15 pounds, I feel like it's my fault. Like, yeah. I'm going to take that personally, because I just want people to be healthy and fit. And I mean, so how are you, did you coach me right now? How are you getting through that? And I know you use your wife, and I kind of do the same thing, but it's a really challenging thing. Like, why do you think you feel that way? Why do you think you're so attached to what it is that you're doing?
Yeah, I think it's partly because I've seen like the consequences for people like you. Like when you see them afterwards and you know you have a conversation with them, and I don't know if you've ever had this, like they don't even want to look you in the eyes because they're disappointed with themselves that this is where they're at 2 weeks later, a month later, 3 months later. Like they don't want to come. Like I've had to fight like the post-COVID era where, you know, a bunch of people left and understandably the world was uncertain, chaos. Like you're gonna retract and cancel your membership, do whatever. I saw people that 6 months could have come right back, were already disappointed, and it took them 2 years to come back. And now they're even farther from that point. And it's just like, it hurts them, it hurts you. And so for me, trying to deal with that is like the realistic nature of like, what message do I need to put out to them to help them to know, like, it's okay to come back when you've made a mistake, like in terms of that, and it's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong. We want to help you get back to where you were or help improve you from here on out. And the other thing is, how do I make sure that I work with human psychology, which is sometimes we give up what's working for what's new. How do I work with giving you opportunities to experience new lifts, new strategies, new things that maybe excite you enough to keep you going on a pathway that ultimately with strength conditioning, like I think is the bread and the butter of the situation. I think what modality comes and goes for people, like, oh, spin class. Oh, there's a new Zumba hit. There's new drum off like workout. There's new something exciting. And while like for brief periods that may work, like I think you and I understand like fitness as a whole is rooted out of strength conditioning, which is progressive overload, specificity, things that actually change the morphology of your body and your physiology and what happens. And so we need those things in there. We don't need just new to, you know, experiment with. And so how do I bring enough newness to the basics of what works to get you the results that you need? And so I think a lot of times it's finding like, hey, I've come to that realization. I understand that I'm going to do probably the same 15 to 20 exercises for the rest of my life, and that's going to get me where I want to go for the next 10 years. And maybe I pull five out and put five more in after that. Yeah. But it's not going to change drastically. And I'm okay with that process of slow growth and incremental adaptations over time versus, oh, that looks exciting. That's going to be super fun. Let's go try that. Right. And leave this gym. And I did it for 2 weeks and I really didn't see anything. And then I left every gym for the next 3 years. And so for me, it's always, what can I do to help work with the human psychology of wanting that newness and excitement and results and challenges and things, you know, as simple as, you know, can I get better at my pushups this month? Like, you'd be surprised at how many people just want to get better in their pushups. And so putting something out that, hey, maybe that's the challenge this month, something exciting, something to take on, you know, versus getting your first pull up or something like that. So I think helping people understand, you know, and work with them as opposed to being like, why don't you see what I see? Right. Like, I think that's the reaction of a lot of like owners is like, well, how come you don't understand? Like, why don't you get this? Well, because they didn't study exercise physiology, exercise science. They didn't work out for the last 20 years like you did. They don't have the benefit of those things. Like, you've got to work with them.
Yeah, you said, has this ever happened to you? I just thought of a funny story. And I'm speaking, my clients, Sean clients, there's listening to this. We love you guys. If you see us at a restaurant, just eat. You don't need to go. You don't need to leave. And that leads me to a funny story. Lori and I went out to dinner at one of our local restaurants and I wasn't even paying attention. I was kind of bebopping around and we sat down and I noticed there was a table just like, I mean, close enough where I could have like, you know, an arm's length away almost. And this lady, I could feel somebody looking at me. I turned around and she looked at me and she's like, son of a, and she's like, it's my anniversary and I have to eat in front of you. And I was like, oh, you feel horrible. And I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask the waiter to move us, but this is not. And so I sent him over dessert at the end of the meal, like happy anniversary. Like, we are not crazy people. Like, we want you guys to have fun. And if you see us at a restaurant or at the grocery store, you do not have to run. Like, I've seen me at the grocery store, somebody's worst nightmare. They'll be pushing that cart and they'll be singing a song. All of a sudden be like, It's like they saw a ghost. Yeah. And then they'll come over to the basket. Like, this isn't for me. Like, this is not mine. Like this. I'm like, I am not even looking in your basket.
Nope. I've had that happen so many times. They're like, oh, we're getting the salad. I'm like,
yeah. I don't care.
Yeah. This is, I want you to be able to enjoy your life and have fun with it. Should you have the salad, the grilled chicken more often than you have the steak? Yeah, but you're out to dinner tonight, and I don't know what you did the other 7 days that I didn't see you out. Like, they were probably all perfect, and this is your thing. Like, I want you to have the most experiences and the fulfillment from it. But yeah, it's a very interesting thing when you run outside there at a grocery store or at a restaurant. Or, you know, like the first time I think my members ever saw me like order a drink, and they were like,
yeah. Like, what are you doing? He's trying to kill himself. He's like, no, just having a
good bourbon.
Just having a beverage.
Just have one.
And it's, you know, it's so weird. And I think, you know, over time they kind of get used to that. But it's like that first time, it's like, oh my gosh, he's human. Like I think I just saw him eat a French fry. Like, is he going to die? Like, they're watching you. Like, is anything bad going to happen? Like, no.
You spit it out right afterwards?
Yeah. Okay. So have fun, guys. Enjoy yourselves. If you see us out, just say hi. Like, I'll even buy you a drink. I'll buy you something. So don't feel bad about it. But, well, man, I really, really enjoyed this conversation. Before we go, I think you and I kind of share a lot of, like, the same, like, human psychology, personal development. And, like, we understand, like, the importance of implementing that into people's lives. What would you say to somebody who's listening right now, your client, my client, neither one of our clients, that is having that conversation with themselves that we know so well? It's like they're ready, but they just can't get themselves talked into taking that first step to either come through the door or to call us or to call their old trainer or to do something. What advice would you give them?
Yeah. So I would give them the same advice I think I've heard, you know, with business owners, and that's that 90% of what you fear is never going to happen. There's only 10%, and that 10% is usually, you know, 50% of the actual problem that you thought it was going to be. It's nothing in comparison. Like, it's a very small, minute thing. So if the fear to entrance, 90% of it never happens the way that you think, right? It never, when you walk into that gym door and your fear is that you're going to be judged immediately for how you look, what you wore to the workout, like your fitness level, 90% of that will never happen. And if it did happen, they would be like, oh, I like your shoes. Oh, that's interesting. Like, it's going to be completely different than you expected it to be. And I think we all are in a society that is echo chambered through social media that suggests that everyone's watching every detail of our life with scrutiny, just waiting in those comment sections to destroy everything you've ever said and ruin your life. And that could be the farthest thing from the truth when you walk into a good fitness facility, is that everyone's actually cheering you on. Everyone wants to see you succeed. Everyone wants to be part of your journey too and help out, especially if you've not done it in years or you've never done it before. You're going to find a community of people in most gyms that's like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I'm so glad that you made it in here. Yeah. Like, high five, way to make it through that workout. Like,
almost overly supportive, almost to a point where you're like, guys, chill out a little bit. They just came in. It's their first day. Let's just relax.
No, you're not my marketer anymore, bud.
Yeah. They get so excited when somebody new or somebody that hasn't been there in a while comes back in. It's like, you know, it's like seeing a friend you haven't seen in 10 years. Like, you want to hug them and pick them up and like high five them. And like, it's a really beautiful experience. So I love the fact that you said that.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, is don't fear the unknown as much with it, because it's not going to happen the way that you think it is.
That is phenomenal, phenomenal advice. Well, brother, I really appreciated this conversation, man. I think we've got a lot of synergies, and it's always a pleasure to talk to somebody with the same kind of mindset and drive to just help people be better.
Absolutely, man. I enjoyed this conversation as well. Look forward to seeing more of your guys' journey, along with, you know, what our members can take from you.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks.
Hey, before you go, I'd just like to say thank you again for listening to the Thrive Forever Fit podcast and watching on YouTube. It means the absolute world to me. And if you would, if you would do me one favor, and that is simply subscribe and review this podcast on whatever platform it is that you enjoy it on, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, doesn't matter. I would absolutely be so grateful and so thankful if you do that for me. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you again next week with an awesome, awesome episode. Bye.